think is going to be a blessing. I think it's something that we need to hear. I believe our time is short on this planet, and whatever we're going to do for Christ, we better be doing it now, because I think the freedoms that we have in this world are going to go by the wayside, and it may happen a lot sooner than what many of us think today sitting in the pews. I can't share everything that's on my heart this morning that I would like to share with you, but I'm going to share with you, I think, something to get you thinking about where we're at in the time that we're living in. You know, it always saddens my heart when I run into people that don't believe that the Lord is coming soon, especially when we call ourselves Adventists. I run into members, sometimes even pastors, maybe 100 years from now, maybe the Lord will come. I don't get that type of thinking. I don't understand that kind of thinking. I think the most important thing we can do right now is to have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. I think we need to be a people of prayer, and we need to be praying like we've never prayed before. Time is running out on planet Earth. You look at the finances in our world. We've seen some pretty big dips in the financial markets. The same economists that said that we were going to lose it in 2008 are saying, man, this is going to blow, and it's going to blow soon. They're not predicting a time. But the economy, the Bible says, someday we'll cast our gold or silver to the bats and rocks. There's so many things going on in Acts 2 and various places like Joel and Jesus in the Gospels. He said there would be signs in the heaven and in the earth. And I believe we are seeing signs in the heaven and earth. And Revelation 11 verse 18, it says, destroy those who destroy the earth. Do we have the capability of doing that? We do in a number of ways. I mean, the Bible says that this planet will wear out like a garment, and it says in the book of Isaiah. I believe that we're not living in normal times, and we should not take these times as business as usual. I saw an article in the BBC News, that's from England over in Great Britain, and their article was this: Earth entering a new extinction phase, according to a U.S. study. In their article, isn't it something, you have to go to the BBC to find out what studies are being done here in the United States? When I watch the major news networks, what do they want to talk about? Oh, the Queen. She's ruled longer than anybody else. Oh, they'll give you some stories about somebody shooting on the highway or whatever. But right away, they don't talk about the real news. You might as well listen to Entertainment Tonight. That's what the crowds want, it seems. But in the BBC News, they said the Earth has entered a new period of extinction. A study by three U.S. universities, Stanford, Princeton, Berkeley, said vertebrates were disappearing at a rate 114 times faster than normal. Since 1900, the report says more than 400 more vertebrates had disappeared. 41% of all amphibians and 25% of mammals are threatened with extinction. Go to YouTube, type in Animal Apocalypse by National Geographic. You'll see them interview Steve Wolberg, one of our evangelists, and people can see that things are happening. I was reading in the news just the other day, 60,000 antelope have died in a country in Africa. They have no clue what caused these 60,000 antelope to die. There are mass animal deaths happening all around the world. Sometimes they can explain it, sometimes they can't. This was in a recent news article from the Los Angeles Times. West Coast warning: largest ever toxic bloom. And this report came from the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. Who are they? They are scientists that study the heavens and study the oceans. And they said fisheries are reporting an unprecedented West Coast toxic algae bloom that spans much of the West Coast and has triggered numerous closures of important shellfish fisheries. The bloom stretches from Central California coast to Washington and Alaska. They reported this in USA Today. What you need to know about toxic algae blooms. This bloom, they said, on the West Coast stretches 40 miles wide and it goes 650 feet deep. And again, they say it runs from California to Alaska. They says it is crashing the fisheries out there on the coastal states. The report said in USA Today, it is unprecedented. The massive bloom off the West Coast contains high concentrations of toxic domoic acid. The toxics can accumulate in small fish and shellfish, which can make consumption harmful for people and marine life. They said that right now there's 400 dead zones in our oceans. And the second largest dead zone is right down here in the Gulf of Mexico. It is the size of the state of Connecticut. And nothing lives in the dead zone. You want to talk about how polluted our oceans are? They've got these garbage patches out there. One of the largest is the Pacific garbage patch, and they're finding all kinds of animals with bits and pieces of plastic in their cavities after they die, choking on our trash. According to the Smithsonian.com, there's 400 of these dead zones. NASA talks about the water table is dropping all over the world. They said we're on the path to a global drought. This was reported June 17, 2015. They said 21 of the world's 37 largest aquifers in locations from India, China, United States, and France have passed their sustainability tipping points, meaning more water is being removed than replaced from these vital underground reservoirs. Now, we could go on and on and on about this stuff for hours, literally hours, about what's happening, about these mass animal deaths and how things are changing in our earth. Now, you may say, oh, that global warming is a bunch of baloney. There's nothing to it. I'll tell you this, something is going on in the world, whether it's a cycle or whether it's the hand of God, I don't know. Or maybe we do have a little bit to play in it. But I know this, when the Pope comes in just a few days to the United States of America, one of the biggest things that he's going to address on his agenda is climate change. And he's going to be calling the United Nations leaders from all over the world to unite. And he's going to be calling religious leaders to not unite to fight climate change. Seems to me, I read somewhere about in the end time, people will join on points that they have in common for the good of humanity. Another thing that he's going to address when he goes to the World Family Meeting of Families in Pennsylvania, he's going to be talking about Family Day. I wonder what that Family Day might be. Can you guess? Absolutely. Now, I was born and raised Catholic, and there are beautiful people in every church. And just belonging to the Seventh-day Adventist Church doesn't give you a ticket to heaven. You've got to have a personal, genuine relationship with Jesus Christ yourself. Just sitting these pews don't do me any good. They don't do you any good as well. You know, I don't ever share any spirit of prophecy statements when I'm preaching, but today I'm going to share some. Not that I don't believe in her. I believe in her very much. But she said that everything that we had to say could be shared right out of the Bible. And so, you know, the Bible, that's our greatest thing. But I just want to talk to you as family today. I want to share with you what's on my heart. She said in a little devotional book, Maranatha, she says, today the signs of the times declare that we are standing on the threshold of great and solemn events. Everything in our world is in agitation. Did you know that when Obama was up here in Alaska, there was 5 Chinese warships just 12 miles off the coast of Alaska? Did you know that Russia and China have been doing military exercises in just off the shores of China together? Did you know that they had a parade in China? China was displaying their new weapons of power. I tell you what, things are going on today. And what is the vast number of people doing today in the world and in the church? They're sleeping. Let me stop at Starbucks and get me a cup of coffee. I can't miss my favorite TV program. My friends, time is running out. She says everything in our world is in agitation. The present is a time of overwhelming interest to all living. Rulers and statesmen, men who occupy positions of trust and authority, thinking men and women of all classes have their attention fixed upon the events taking place about us. They are observing the relations that exist among the nations. They observe the intensity that has taken possession of every earthly element. And they recognize that something great and decisive is about to take place. That the world is on the verge of a stupendous crisis. Christians should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. This preparation they should make by diligently studying the Word of God and striving to conform their lives to its precepts. You know, I think it's interesting that we got a Seventh-day Adventist running for president right now. And, you know, I'm not here to advocate vote for him, not vote for him. My point that I want to share with you is it's amazing to me how he's rose in the polls. But anyway, it is amazing. I mean, he's number two. In some polls, he ties with Trump. And I don't understand why. Well, I won't get into the politics of Trump. But anyway, what do you think is going to happen if he wins a primary? If he sticks around until this thing gets a little bit hotter when it comes to the primaries, do you think they're going to pull out the magnifying glass and think about what Ben Carson believes? It's already happening out in Alabama, Associated Press. They said, Ben Carson's a Seventh-day Adventist. What do Seventh-day Adventists believe? They believe in the health message. And that's great. They did that okay. They said they believe in the Seventh-day Sabbath. That's great. You know what they said for the third thing? What do they believe? Who do they believe the Antichrist is? And they had a picture of a beast with 10 horns and a little horn coming up. And you know that what they said about who we believe the Antichrist is. In this day and age where everybody's so sensitive and hate speech, and can you imagine? Can you imagine what will happen, could happen? Our beliefs are going to come out in the spotlight one of these days, my friends. It will be powerful. This is from the book Maranatha, page 217. She says, our people have been regarded as too insignificant to be worthy of notice, but a change will come. The Christian world is now making movements which will necessarily bring commandment-keeping people into prominence. That's amazing. She goes on to say, now we seem to be unnoticed, but this will not always be. Movements are at work to bring us to the front. And if our theories of truth can be picked to pieces by historians or the world's greatest man, it will be done. And I'm just telling you, there is a lot of stuff happening this fall. I don't know where it's all going to lead, but I believe that things are going to escalate and things are going to happen a lot faster than what you might imagine. You know, with him talking about Family Day on October the 3rd, right after the Pope leaves the country, not too long after he leaves the country, our church is going to have a musical right at the Washington Cathedral in Washington, D.C. And it's going to be powerful. They're going to have a musical on the Ten Commandments. And so notice what Lonnie Miloshenko has to say about this. Let me turn this back a little bit. Maybe you can turn the mic up. There we go. Not too loud, but. All right. We'll Get out of that. We'll start over. Come on.
Exciting.
Okay, we're ready to go, I guess. All right.
Exciting. Epic events are astir as the U.S. Congress prepares.
I'm going to escape from that. Devil doesn't want you to hear these things. There we go. But we're going to hear it anyway. Victory in Jesus. All right. Here we go.
Okay. Exciting. Exciting. Epic events are astir as the U.S. Congress prepares their historic welcome for well-loved Pope Francis to the U.S. House of Congress in September. Then he travels on to Philadelphia for the 2015 World Meeting of Families, where he is expected to share his vision of Family Day in America. As the nation's capital turns its attention to all things spiritual, God has opened a miraculous door on the heels of the Pope addressing Congress to place his Ten Commandments in the spotlight for congressmen, diplomats, ambassadors, and legislators right inside the Beltway. Yes, the Love at Work Ten Commandment musical will be presented live in the nation's capital October 3 at the Washington National Cathedral at 6 o'clock p.m. with many of your favorite singers, including Steve Darmody, Jennifer LaMountain, Rudy Michelli, Charles Hugabrooks, Christian Berdahl, Yolanda Innocent Palmer, Neville Peter, and others, with Chaplain Barry Black as Master of Ceremonies, and yours truly, Lonnie Melashenko, as narrator. To learn more, visit loveatworkmusical.org or text LOVE to this number for a free song and updates. 125 years ago, Ellen White predicted this when she said, God is going to bring around a condition of things where the good men and the men in authority will have an opportunity to know what is truth indeed. This last warning to the inhabitants of the earth is to make men see the importance God attaches to his holy law. Help us make this happen. Will you pray? Will you tell others? Will you post and tweet about this event on your social media networks? Will you invite your governor, mayor, Supreme Court justices, your congressman or your congresswoman? October 3 at the Washington National Cathedral at 6 o'clock p.m., the Love at Work Ten Commandments musical in Washington, D.C. Follow us on Facebook.
I just wanted to share that with you. There's a lot of things happening. The devil may be at work, but God's people are at work at the same time. And if there was a time to be praying, it's now. We need to be plugged into God, communicating with him. Not only is Ben Carson running for president, we're having this musical about the Ten Commandments right after the Pope leaves, but also Mel Gibson is making a movie right now on Hacksaw Ridge, a true story about Desmond Doss. I'm hoping that he puts a good slant on it because you could... You know, if you're running the film, you can make it Desmond Doss look like a kook. But I don't think he's going to do that. I hope he doesn't. I was out in California just a week or two ago, and I went to his church. He built a Catholic church out there, very old, traditional Catholic church. I felt so uncomfortable, but I was hoping that maybe I could thank him for making the movie if he was around. Wasn't there, but I got some contact information. And what I wanted to do is give him a little quote from the book Education. I believe it's page 57, where it talks about God is looking for man that are true and honest, that are true as a needle to a pole. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it's a powerful quote. I thought it'd make it help him give some direction about this Desmond Doss, who was sort of like Kim Davis that we've seen in the post office here, or not the post office, but the clerk's office. We need people that are strong, and I pray that I can be a Daniel in the last days, a Desmond Doss or a Kim Davis in the last days. Is your relationship so strong that you wouldn't be intimidated by someone that were trying to put pressure on you? My friends, this is time to pray. Do you ever struggle with your prayer prayer life a little bit? Do you ever wonder why God doesn't answer prayer right away? Do you give up praying? I want to encourage you not to give up praying. Don't give up praying for these people that you wrote down to invite to the meetings. Don't give up on praying for your loved ones. Don't give up praying. There's power in prayer. Sometimes we get discouraged, but don't get discouraged. Take a look at Daniel chapter 10 here for a moment. Daniel the 10th chapter. Here is a story about a man of faith, and he's praying. And notice here, the 70-year prophecy about the Jews rebuilding their temple has come to pass, but still they're dragging their feet. Things aren't going like they're supposed to be going. And so Daniel fasts. He prays. He prays for 3 weeks, and nothing happens. Does God even care? Have you ever been there? I've been there. There's been times that I have prayed and I wondered, well, where are you, God? Where are you? But Daniel keeps on praying. Notice what happens here in verse 12 of chapter 10 of Daniel. Daniel 10, verse 12. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were," what, everybody? "Heard." God hears our prayers. Do you believe that? May not be answered right away. There are things going on that we don't have a clue, and his wisdom is higher than our wisdom. But he says, "Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come." My point in sharing that story is don't give up when you're praying. Don't give up praying and for your loved ones and for people to come and your Bible studies or whatever it may be. You keep on praying. There is a real warfare going on, and there's things going on behind the scenes that we can't even imagine. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and high places." And I want to thank you, Gloria, for taking this prayer ministry so serious. I think that is just totally awesome. What's going to make these meetings a success is prayer. I'll tell you the second thing, Bible studies, outreach of all kinds. Another big one is inviting them to come. And the last big one is that you come and support the meetings. If you'll do just those three things, pray, invite someone to come yourself, I think God is going to bless, and he's going to bless richly. Now, I noticed in Scripture, I was with a friend the other day bicycling, and anyway, he was praying about something, and it still hasn't turned around, and he's praying, I know it's God's will, because it's to have this person to become a Christian who's very near and dear to him, and he's doing everything he can. Now, God isn't going to force the person, but God is definitely hearing his prayer. But don't give up praying for your loved ones. I told him, don't give up. I says, when Elijah prayed for rain to come, he put his head in between his knees. He bowed down. He put his head in between his knees on the ground, and he prayed about that rain to come. We read in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 43, "Then he said to his servant, 'Go and look out toward the sea.' The servant went and looked, and then returned to Elijah and said, 'I didn't see anything.'" Now, if that would have been you, if that would have been me, when I gave up my faith, when I got discouraged and say, "Oh, God must be busy. He doesn't really care. He's got something more important to do." No, Elijah continues to pray. 7 times Elijah told him to go out and look. Finally, the 7th time, his servant told him, "I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea." When we read this text that Jesus speaks of in Matthew 7, verse 7, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you." Those words, ask, seek, knock, the pretense, the present tense of the verbs, the present tense of the verbs literally mean keep on asking, not once, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. We're going to find out what it means to wrestle with God, just like Jacob wrestled with the angel. When we read about that parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18, verse 1, that whole point of that parable is that man always ought to pray and not lose heart. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Is there power in prayer? Now, some of you, notice what Ellen White, one of the founders of the Adventist Church, a woman of insight. Now, I could quote Charles Spurgeon this morning. He basically says the same thing. I could quote E.M. Bounds, a big prayer warrior of the last century. But I'm going to share with you her thought. She says, a revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. Are you all in agreement with that? Well, what's going to cause this great revival? A revival need be expected only in answer to what, everybody? That's how important prayer is. How much time do you spend in prayer? 2 minutes, 3 minutes? Do you just have a quick microwave prayer in the morning and you're done? How much time do you spend talking to God? She says prayer is the breath of the soul. It is the secret to spiritual power. How powerful is prayer? You remember when the Iron Curtain came tumbling down that wall in East Germany? Did you know that in 1982 that there was a pastor that started praying for freedom in East Germany? And he had his congregation praying, and 7 years they had been praying. Finally, in 1989, there were 8,000 people at his church praying, outside his church, in his church. In fact, there was 1 million across East Germany praying. And you can read about this story in that book, Daring to Ask for More. It's a powerful, powerful book. This pastor, Christian Führer, he says, we realize that if we stop praying, there would be no hope for change in Germany. The Berlin Wall could not stand before the sound of the fervent prayers of God's people united in seeking him. And my friends, those prayers were answered. At the sound of fervent prayer, Satan's whole host trembles. I think God is amazed. I think the angels are amazed that we pray so little. Jerry Page was elected conference president in California in 1995. The conference financially was in a mess. Monterey Bay Academy was $2 million in debt. They were talking about closing it up. They were talking about closing up the annual camp meeting. They didn't have any funds to put camp meeting on. Evangelism offerings were at the lowest that they had ever been. Someone said, his wife actually says, what we need to do is start a prayer ministry. They asked people locally around the conference office, different churches there in the around the conference office, to come in once a week and pray. They had 300 prayer warriors across the conference praying for change, praying that God would bless and help them to be a light again in that conference. It is amazing what God can do. He asked for one more camp meeting to squeeze somehow out of the budget, one more camp meeting. He had people, as people were coming through the gates to come to camp meeting, he had ushers there, or whatever you want, greeters there, and they were praying for each car that came into camp meeting. Everybody sensed that something was different, something was changing. And you know what? Their evangelism goal that year was $125,000, and they made it. Next year it was $138,000. The next year it was $250,000. The next year it was $500,000. They are now having offerings of $1 million for evangelism. The academy that was so in debt, $2 million in debt, within 2 years it was brought up out of debt. The conference began to thrive. They had money coming in to hire Bible workers, to plant churches, to hire evangelistic meetings. Don't ever think that prayer isn't powerful, that prayer isn't important. There is power in prayer. Nothing is too hard for God. The power of God is limitless. And we need to understand that. Sometimes we say, well, I don't want to pray for too much. You know, I don't want to presume on things. Alexander the Great conquered the then known world at the age of 32. And he was rich, of course. He had everything this world had to offer. And one day out of the year, Alexander the Great had what he called Compassion Day. The people were brought in, and some people were chosen out of the crowd to make a request of the mighty king, and he would honor the request no matter what it was. Most people wanted food or maybe some livestock, or maybe they had some health problems and needed some help there. One man who a guard was talking to was arguing with this guard. I want to speak to the king. I've got a request. And the request was this. I want a palace, and I don't want any ordinary palace. I want a big banquet room in that palace. The guard was saying, who do you think you are asking the king for such a request? Alexander the Great was passing by. He heard the squabbling going on. He says, what does this man want? And anyway, the man stepped forward. He says, I want a palace and I want a big banquet room so I can invite all my friends to come. He says, request granted. This man, Alexander the Great said, he's the first that really made me a request that only a king can answer. See, we usually make requests that man can answer if we work real hard at it. But how many times do we make requests that only a God in heaven can answer? And we should be doing more of this. Paul challenges us. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Does God long for us to expect great things? Christ Object Lessons, page 146. He longs to have you reach after him by faith. He longs to have you expect what kind of things? Great things from him. She says in Desire of Ages 362, only the work accomplished with how much prayer? Much prayer, and sanctified by the merit of Christ will in the end prove to have been efficient for good. Do you have a heart for people outside these walls? I think you do. I've heard too many leaders here sharing different activities, different outreach. Prayer is important here. Bible studies is important here. I praise God for that desire. And maybe not all of you feel that way, but I tell you what, I hope you join the rest of the crew here that are involved with this church, involved with people out there. Why are we involved with people out there? Because we love God, and if we love God, we'll love other people. He says, love God with all your heart. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. When you see those who are going down to death, do we care? You will not rest in quiet indifference and ease. Your heart will go out in sympathy for them, and you will reach out to them a helping hand. In the arms of your faith and love, you will bring them to Christ. You will watch over them and encourage them, and your sympathy and confidence will make it hard for them to fall from their steadfastness. Now, don't get discouraged. I know some of you have given Bible studies, and they've gone by the wayside. In fact, you're going to have more Bible studies go by the wayside than stick with it. But you stay with it anyway. Jesus had the rich young ruler walk away. He had crowds walk away. You stick to it. You keep on praying. You keep on working. It's worth it for just one soul who will give their life over to the Lord. My friend Chuck Young, I tell you what, I've never seen anybody in the denomination or in any Christian circle witness like this guy witnesses. I don't care where he's at. He can be at the YMCA. He can be at a restaurant. He always carries these final event DVDs by Doug Batchelor with him. And anyway, he's at the restaurant here not that long ago with his wife, and this waitress is very kind, very friendly, and he says, "You're not from here." Her accent gave her away. And anyway, he says, "Where are you from?" And anyway, she said, and he says, "Well, I just moved here recently," the lady says. And Chuck says, "Well, have you found a church yet?" She says, "No." And he says, "You look like a Christian, or you act like a Christian. Are you looking for a church?" "Yes." He says, "Well, hey, I want to invite you to my church. I teach a class there." And he gives her a map, a little map of the church, the times of service. And he says, "Oh, by the way, it's on Saturday. Do you like last day events?" He gives her a DVD, Doug Batchelor, Final Events. Make a long story short, she watches the DVD. She comes to church. They're still coming to church. The story hasn't ended yet. They haven't been baptized. But my friends, just think what would happen if every Seventh-day Adventist wouldn't depend on just pastor or the evangelist to do the work, but everybody got out and did the work. We could wrap this up. We could go home. And he doesn't really need me. He doesn't need pastor to do this work. I mean, he could do this by himself through visions and dreams and angels appearing. It's for our own personal growth. I tell you what, if a person isn't praying, he isn't studying his Bible, and if he isn't sharing what Christ has done for him, those three things, if you're not doing those three things, you better be praying about your spiritual welfare. In the arms of faith and love, you will bring them to Christ. You will watch over them, encourage them. Your sympathy and confidence will make it hard for them to fall from steadfastness. She says this. Notice, how important is this to share our faith? The very life of the church. The very life of the church depends upon her faithfulness in fulfilling the Lord's commission. To neglect this work is surely to invite spiritual feebleness and decay. Where there is not active labor for others, love wanes and faith grows dim. You know, back in the old days, in the pioneers, when they started this church, they used to pray for one soul after another. Is that happening now? Let the workers grasp the promises of God, saying, "Thou hast promised, and he shall receive." I must have this soul converted to Jesus Christ. My friends, without the Spirit and the power of God, it's going to be in vain that we labor to present the truth. Now, there is power when we pray. I don't know if you realize this or not, but when God's people come together to pray, Jesus says that he promises that he is there in the midst of them. That's what he says. It's important that we pray together individually. It's important that we come together as a church and have special times for prayer, because God will delight in answering those prayers. Notice what she says. We are encouraged to pray for success with the divine assurance that our prayers will be heard and answered. Not maybe, not perhaps, will be heard and answered. The promise is made on the condition. On the condition of what? On the condition that the united prayers of the church are offered. And in answer to these prayers, there may be expected a power greater than that which comes in answer to private prayer. When God's people come together to pray, God pays special attention. The power given will be proportionate to the unity of the members and their love for God and for one another. Is there a lot of love for God here? Is there a lot of love for one another? I sense that it's more healthy here than a lot of places. Brethren should stand shoulder to shoulder, uniting their prayers at the throne of grace, that they may move the arm of Omnipotent. My friends, I want to follow the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind, and with all my soul. It's time for the church to rise as a mighty army. And the only way that's going to happen is we have a deep falling in love with Jesus Christ. We'll be like that woman who Jesus did so much for her. She realized it. She didn't take it for granted. She really appreciated it. And she bought a year's worth of ointment and perfume, and she anointed the feet of Jesus. She wept over the feet of Jesus. She wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. My friends, do we realize what Christ has done for us and how much he loves us? Then let that same motivation that motivated that woman motivate his church today. May the valley of dry bones arise and do the work of God, because the Spirit of the living God is in them and through them. I want to give you one other closing thought here. For every guest that comes to these meetings, if you have one church member that comes, for every guest that comes, those meetings aren't going to turn out so well. If you have two members for every guest that comes, that meeting's going to be a success. If you have three members for every guest that comes, you're going to see things that you never dreamed of. My friends, let us be about our Father's business. Let us be men and women of prayer, persevering prayer. Let us take up the banner of Christ and share the loud cry to this dying world.